This is episode 214, recorded July 7th, 2014.
Greetings, Aquarimaxers. You know how I can tell it's July?
Because it's hot.
Yes.
That's hot. That's a good way.
Okay.
Unless maybe you're listening in Australia, and then maybe it's probably not as hot.
Well, it depends on which
part
of Australia.
Of course, I don't know. Isn't Australia frequently hot, even in the wintertime?
There are places in Australia where the average winter temperature is warmer than ours by a long shot. In fact, I think most of Australia has much warmer winters than us. But there are places in Australia where there's not much of winter, too.
Northern Australia, you're saying there's places where it's nice and warm, and then there's places where it's hot in the winter.
And I'm thinking that there are probably...
Do they get snow anywhere in Australia?
Oh, I'm pretty sure they do. I think we talked to Matt about this, and he said that there are places where it gets pretty cold.
Where it gets cold?
But I think there are a few places in Australia where it gets as cold as it does here.
Okay. So, anyways, we have a few things today.
Yes, we do. We've got Tom.
In Provo.
Yes. And we got some comments about Tom's tank, because several people on Facebook commented on it.
And then we have someone apparently named Scarty Gaming.
From YouTube.
I don't know what Scarty means, so I hope it's nothing naughty and I'm saying it. Because I don't know what it means.
Well, it's not
S-C-A-R-T-Y.
Not naughty in our dialect. So.
Well, it's not anything in our dialect. I've never heard that word before.
Okay. Well,
enlighten me, please, Mr. Gaming.
All right, so.
Maybe not. I don't know.
You can leave us in blissful ignorance if it's naughty. Okay.
Okay. So, Tom says, thanks for your comments last week regarding possible outcomes of keeping a pair of bristlenose placos in my tank. I thought I would have to move them because I remembered episode 127, in which you talked about various algae crews. You recommended baby bristlies and pointed out that the albinos in females were generally smaller and would not outgrow the tank so quickly. What I had forgotten was that you were responding specifically to a question from Tony about his 6.6-gallon office tank. The situation in my larger home tank, 36 gallons, will no doubt be quite different.
Right. Very true. In fact, 36, I had forgotten that was that big. I knew it was, you know, fairly large. But 36, you could probably keep them indefinitely if it's a male and a female or two females. If it's a male and a male, probably not. And just have to keep one of them. But yeah, so I guess that we kind of went over that last week. But yeah, there you go. That is good that you brought that up. I can't remember episode 127 right now, but I'm glad that you...
That was almost 100 episodes ago.
I'm glad that you brought that up, though. So now more people, if they want to listen to more about algae crews, can go check it out.
There we go. That was the chime. It means we need to turn the page. Sorry, that was the iPad breaking into the conversation. Okay, he says, I still have not tried to figure out if these bristlies are female, male, or one of each. At present, they lead entirely independent lives, mostly at opposite ends of the aquarium. Happily, though, they have already noticeably reduced algae on the glass and on the leaves of the Amazon sword plants. Beatus est pisciculus.
So, it sounds like you made a good, effective purchase. They are really, really good for getting rid of algae. I love to put them in a tank and watch over the next 24 hours. The algae just goes, zoom, you know. Large quantities that would disappear. It depends on the type of algae and whatnot, but generally it's quite dramatic. You can see in 24 hours there's a big difference. So, at their size, I think last week you said that they're about 1 inch long, something like that. So at that size, it's going to be a while before you can tell. And happily, it's going to be a while before you need to be able to tell.
They won't bug each other until they get a little older?
Typically, they will not bug each other unduly until they're much larger. And the best way to, when they start, you know, getting a little bit bigger, and they can spawn at a fairly small size, but I've never heard of it happening at 1 inch. But once you start noticing bristle development, if there are bristles down the center of the rostrum, the face, you know,
okay,
essentially the nose between the eyes kind of area, and they're going down the midline.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any significant bristle development there, very likely you have a male. If you have bristle development just slightly around the edges, but not really down that midline, it's very likely a female.
Is there anything else to, like, double check with? Yeah, I think it's a male, so I'll check this too.
Well, there are some other things you can think about. The males typically develop a lot more bristles on their pectoral fins.
Oh.
And there are other... Some people talk about how the fin length and everything can be indicative of the gender. I don't...
You have to have something to compare that to, though.
Right.
Seems
and
like
if
you
have
to
two
be...
of one, then it's kind of hard to tell.
Right.
But anyway, I've found that the bristles are the most reliable indicator. Also, male bristles will sometimes develop in... They will bifurcate. So you'll get a Y-shaped bristle here and there.
Oh, okay.
Maybe many of them.
So it's not just one little spike. It's like comes up and then branches like a tree branch.
Yes. And if it does that, and it's almost certainly a male.
Okay.
And but if you say you have two males, one of them will almost certainly be dominant. You usually won't have males of equal dominance. So you'll get the subordinate one won't develop bristles as much. So it might be sometimes mistaken for a female.
For a female.
A long time ago, before I successfully bred them, I did that.
Did they beat each other up then?
Well, what happened is one day I couldn't find one and commenced a search for it and found that it had gotten into the filter.
Oh, was it trying to run away
from the other
one? It
had climbed up into the filter, apparently, or jumped up into the filter. You know, it was a hang-on-back filter,
uh-huh.
And it got up in there and it was in the filter box.
How did it...
I don't
was it
know.
Trying to get away from the other one?
I imagine so, yeah.
Wow.
So then I determined, I looked really closely at its face, and this is actually a subordinate male. It's not a female at all, so I moved it, and then got a female, and then they started breeding like crazy. So there you go. Hopefully that sheds a bit of light on the situation, and we're glad that you have some lovely baby bristlies and that they're doing well in your tank and reducing algae as... hoped. So, shall we move on?
Well, while we're on Tom's tank, let's go over the comments that people made on it on Facebook.
I think people were impressed with your tank, as were we, so let's look and see what some people said.
Yes, this one is in Spanish, so you will probably have to handle that one.
Okay.
I get a couple of words, but...
Okay. Marta says, Qué padre, se ve hay que poner un acuario pequeño. Which means, roughly translated, how cool. It's evident or obvious that one needs to set up a small aquarium.
Oh, like, it's a good idea, this is a cool idea.
Yeah.
I better go do it.
Yeah. Like,
okay.
I see that I'll have to set up a small aquarium now.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like that.
Okay.
Probably has much larger aquariums with, I don't know, like cyclids in it or something, and hasn't done a...
Mm-hmm.
You know, a 36-gallon planted yet, and so she's looking at that and saying, oh, what a nice
that's a good
small
idea.
Tank. Yeah. So that, I think that's the first contribution to Aquamax done in Spanish.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, that is cool. I think that really is the first one. We've had a contribution in Russian by Tom. We've had contributions by Spanish speakers living in Portugal, you know, but speaking in English. We've had various things, but we've never had a comment directly in Spanish that I can remember.
That's really cool.
So that was fun. Okay, and what else we got?
Let's see, Robert says, nice fish too. And Holly says, lovely, looks very healthy.
And it was a nice tank, and evidently it inspired a lot of comments, so that's good. And then, what was our next one? Did we have... Oh, it was the Scardy Gaming one.
Scardy Gaming.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun to say.
Who left some comments on YouTube on our beta video.
It's kind of like Slur to Bart Fest.
Yeah. Which is funny. I don't know if we've talked about this recently, but that beta video has actually... Now has the most videos of any one video.
The most views?
Yeah, the most views. There are over 63,000 views.
Is this the beta sorority one or the one of the betas that we bred
that
they grew up?
Watching the baby betas grow up. When we did that project in, when was it, 2012?
A couple years ago.
Yeah. 63-something thousand views.
Wow.
So a fairly popular video.
Yay for baby betas.
Yeah. I didn't really anticipate that. I thought this will be fun. People will like this. Mm-hmm. But
they do.
It's fairly popular.
They like it. They really like it.
We are almost up to 200,000 views on the YouTube page.
That's pretty
cool.
We'll
probably be there by the end of the month.
Well, sweet.
So, that's kind of fun.
If you guys want to, you can share an Aquamax video on your Facebook page.
Yeah, or just go to YouTube and like it, or both, you know, something like that.
introduce the magic of Aquarimax to your friends.
Yeah.
Okay. So Scardy Gaming says, I have a question. I want to breed my betas, but I would only want to keep about 5 of my favorites. What would you suggest for selling them? I live near a Petco, but I don't think they would take them. And what website would you suggest for selling them if I did breed them?
Okay. Well, first of all, I agree that Petco probably wouldn't take them because they typically don't. I believe they have a policy against that, just taking... They will take back, which I think is a great thing about Petco. If you buy a fish from them or any other pet and you are no longer able to care for it for whatever reason, say you have an unexplained... I mean, unexplained. You have an unexpected
unexplained
move...
flying object.
Or you have, you know, some life events or whatever that prevent you from being able to keep them, you can take them back. No questions asked, and they will take it back and find
it
at home.
That's a good
thing.
Which
is nice. But in terms of fish that you breed from fish that you bought there, that's not the same thing. And so you probably wouldn't be able to sell them there. I would suggest a mom and pop store, rather. They're a lot more likely to take them. But let's look at, and you know, you might find some Petcos that can, but I think in general you can't. But so here were some of my questions that I asked in response. First of all, I asked what type Scardy Gaming was breeding, because I think that's really important when you're thinking
difference.
About selling back betas. Because most mom and pop stores are more likely to take things like Delta Tails or Half Moons or Dragon Scales or
something fancy
rather than Veil Tails.
Because
the Veil Tails, they don't get much for, and they can buy them for next to nothing.
Right.
So it's not really in their best interest to buy them from people. And so he responded. And what did he say? I don't really know.
Yeah. He said, I would breed a Half Moon and most likely a Veil Tail female. What would you get out of there? A Veiled Moon?
Well, if I recall correctly, and I'm hardly an expert on beta genetics, but as I recall, you would get droopy
half moons.
Maybe you'd get a mix of things, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
But it would tend to cause the finnage to be droopy, in the sense that Veil Tail finnage, the way it grows, is that the top part of the fin is actually growing faster than the bottom part of the fin, and so it kind of arches over, and it looks kind of pretty if you like that kind of thing. That's what Veil Tails are supposed to look like. But it's an asymmetrical growth.
Right.
And I believe it's dominant. I don't know, what all it's dominant to. It's dominant to just plain short fins. I know that. I don't know how it would interact for sure with half moons, but I suspect it would show up and just make the finnage look kind of droopy. It might be longer than normal Veil Tails, or even fuller, but droopier. Because it's that asymmetrical growth that in half moons, something people are trying to get away from.
Right.
And I recall that, if I can remember how it worked exactly, in breeding for like half moon placats, to get that 180 degrees that the half moon is basically supposed to be. It's a
half
true
a
half
circle.
Moon only if it's a half a circle. That fin when it's
otherwise
all
it's
flared
like
out.
More like a delta tail.
Right. To get that, when they were breeding different fish together, they got some that were kind of veily-taily in the early days of that.
So they could get more fullness?
And I don't know if they did that on purpose, or if those genes just showed up as they were doing crosses or whatever, and it took them a while to get that out. And now, you can have half-moon placats that are absolutely gorgeous. They have fairly short fins, but they're really full, and they do the 180 thing. Beautiful fish. But you would likely get something very veil-taily if you did that. And I think the pet stores would be a lot less
likely to take them.
One thing I might suggest is what we did. Originally we were going to buy some fish online, some expensive fancy fish, and it didn't quite work out. And we had a deadline for science projects, which I think we talked about on the podcast before. We needed to get those fish spawning, and we needed to do it fast. So we ended up getting some fish from the pet store. And what we did was we got a Super Delta male and a Crown Tail female, because Crown Tails are essentially symmetrically finned, but they're incomplete dominance. So if you take a Crown Tail and a half moon, you're going to get a comb tail, and some of those will turn out super deltas, some of them might turn out half moons and things like that, some maybe just deltas, but at any rate, you'll get nicer finnage in terms of, it'll be symmetrical.
Right.
And the crown tail trait will be reduced, but it will still be there. In other words, you'll get filaments on the ends of the rays of the fins that will extend past the rest of the fin, but not nearly as much as they would.
Which I thought was nicer. I like comb tail better than crown tail.
Yeah, and my personal preferences to that too, except I've seen some really nice pure crown tails, but like show quality ones.
Mm-hmm.
They look totally awesome, and I wouldn't change them at all. But in terms of the pet store quality ones, I prefer a comb tail to one of the pet store quality crown tails. And that's what we ended up getting. And they turned out really nice. We had a lot of nice... the females looked almost the same, although in general their crown tail development, I think, was reduced, so mm-hmm. less so than their mother. The females had it a little less, but some of them had it almost as much as she did. And then the males had it much less, but they still had a kind of a serration on their tail fins, but it was pretty minor, but it looked really nice. So that's what I would suggest you're going to do if you're going to use pet store betas. I mean... If you want to get
don't
really high quality
fins,
ones,
what you're saying.
Right. I would say in general, don't use veil tails. If you can do placots, that would be another option. But you know, you are going to get some interesting surprises because you're not using purebred betas. If you get ones from a pet store, typically,
mm-hmm.
Not that that's necessarily bad. I mean, we did that fully expecting that that's what was going to happen, that we were going to get some surprises, and we did, and we got fish of all sorts of colors. Some of them were really, really nice, but I would say, you know, five of them or so probably were good enough to sell on the internet for a price higher than you'd get at the mm-hmm. pet store. Maybe five out of the 50, right?
Right.
And then the rest of them were nice fish and better than your run-of-the-mill veil tail you'll find at the pet store, and we were able to sell them to the pet store for a higher price because they really liked them. It was kind of funny walking into the pet store and... You know, they said, oh, okay, we'll bring your bettas in, we'll come look at them. And when we got them there, it was a pet store we don't go to that often, so they didn't really know us. And, well, one of the pet stores we sold them to was like that. And when we went to that pet store the first time, they said, okay, let's take a look at them. They pulled them out, and they were thinking, and they said, wow,
these are really nice fish.
And so they took them all, and we had some more, because they said, we'll take 10, or bring in 10, or something like mm-hmm. that, we'll take a look at them. And we brought in 10 and did that, and they liked them, and... then I called them up a little later or something, and they said, yeah, bring in more. And so we sold all the rest that we wanted to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be my suggestion, you know, go for something other than veil tails, just because the fish...
If you want to sell them.
If you want to sell them, the resale value will increase
mm-hmm.
just by going for something with symmetrical tail development. And, yeah, I think that's about it.
I think so. We didn't have any announcements, right?
We did have one.
What?
We got a microscope, a USB microscope, that we're going to be using for various applications, one of them for posting videos, or at least...
pictures.
Pictures, photographs,
aquatic things. Critters.
Yeah, aquatic things. So, I already have done some test pictures this evening, or this afternoon. I took some Daphnia pictures that were magnified quite a bit. I don't remember how much. I'll have to go look. And an amphipod. And I think they're coming out pretty well, so that's going to be enriching the world of Aquarimax to look at some of the creatures that we breed for live food or, you know, different pests, things like that. Look at them close up and get an idea of what that world is like if you're right down in it.
Yep.
So, I think that is it, though.
Okay, so...
Maybe one thing.
Oh.
We're going on vacation soon.
Yes.
Starting next week.
We're going to try to still do podcasts, but we will be traveling across state lines on the day that we usually record them.
So it is very unlikely that we will record a podcast that day. It may or may not get out on Wednesday. We'll have to see.
If we have time on the Tuesday that we get there, but we probably won't.
We probably won't. So we'll see. It might be sporadic for a couple of weeks until August, so we might not... be on time and whatnot, or we might actually miss an episode. We'll have to see how things go.
They have a really cool, pretty cool pet store where we're going to go visit my family. Maybe we could get an interview with the pet store owner or something.
Yeah.
We'll do something fun.
Yeah. And Aquarimaxers in the area, Remember we told them we're Sonora, California? Hey, if you want to meet up with us or something, maybe we could set something up.
So who's in Jamestown?
Jamestown. Greg's in
Greg is in
Jamestown.
Jamestown.
Yeah, that's like 10 minutes away.
I love Jamestown. It's pretty.
Well, maybe 20 minutes away from your parents' house,
20, no, 25.
but it's yeah, it's
They're
pretty
almost
close.
Twain Heart.
That's true. So it's close, but anyway, that would be kind of fun.
Yep.
Meet up at the pet store or something.
That
I
would
don't
be
know.
cool.
So anyway, that just fair warning that the next couple of weeks might be a little weird, but we'll get back. May the fish
be with you.